Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking. Walking, walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking, oh. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking, oh. Walking shoes, hey. I tell you when you got a made up mind. The winter feels like summertime, In the night you see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are half the time, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said
Colcoon family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah. We thank you, Father. We thank you wholeheartedly, Father, for the blessing of light, health, and strength. Father, we thank you for giving us your son, Yahushua, as a gift, Father, to save us from this world, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to hedge us up, Father, that you continue to cleanse us by his blood, Father, that you continue to guard our footsteps, Father, and that your word continue to be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet, Father. Father, we ask you now that you uphold us, Father, that you guide us, Father, that you lead us, Father, and Father, that you have mercy upon us, Father, because we are in continual need of mercy, Father, because we know the attacks are coming, Father. Father, they said if they attack you, but they're going to attack us, Father, as we align ourselves with you, O Yahweh. So we thank you, Father, for being all that you have been for us, Father. In your word, you said you would be all that you need us to be, Father, and you have not failed us yet, Father. And we thank you, Father, for your continued mercy and the blessing of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva, family. And Shabbat Shalom to everyone who is here and those who are listening and those who are on their way. Hallelujah. It is a blessed Shabbat day. And I am your brother, Ahab All, with Beth Yahweh Congregation, good old Baltimore, USA. And this is study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is the fifth of my six-week session, and we are talking about the conspiracy against your salvation. And I know some people will look at that title and probably listen to the lesson and be a little disappointed that I'm not talking about the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers, the all the different powers that be, yada, 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 yada. And, you know, one of the reasons why I didn't focus on that, because Abba did say, you know, at first I thought to talk about some of those things. But after reading the book of Judas, one of the things that I realized is those people, those conspiracy theorists, they can conspire, but they have no hold over us. They have no real effect on our lives outside of the norm that has any impact on us other than what this world system has set in place to trap everybody. You know, my brother talked about that last night in his lesson, you know, but Yisrael is its own worst enemy at times. Yisrael conspired against its own salvation and continues to conspire against its own salvation. You know, when you think about this system and how this world system is set up, you know, one of the things that Abba placed on my mind this weekend, you know, and I shared it with the brothers, you know, and I asked them to chew on that for me a little bit, was when he said that his name was a memorial, and he gave us his name so that we can remember it. He gave us his name so that we can use it. He right. gave, with respect, of course, not how some people like everything that happens, JC, you know, everything they wanted. Oh, I mean, my mother was famous for that. Boy, something happened. Oh, my goodness. You know, he don't want us to use his name like that. He still wants his name to be holy and revered within our mind. But that doesn't mean forget it. That doesn't mean it cannot be uttered. In all actuality, when we look at the word in two scriptures that came to mind about that is when he said, you know, to make his name a memorial. But then he also said to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And I remember the teaching that we were taught about that word for the Sabbath day, where it says, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. The word was Zakor. And it doesn't just mean to remember as to keep something in mind. But we have to fight this battle, wage this war to get into the Shabbat. And not just the wars externally. Oftentimes, it's the wars internally. As a matter of fact, the hardest struggle in keeping the Shabbat is not what happens on the outside. It's everything that takes place on the inside up until you walk out that house sometimes. You know, oftentimes, I don't think I'm the only one, but just in case I am the only one to share with my family what I go through sometimes you want to stay in that bed, especially if you had a week where you're walking and pushing and pulling and struggling and dealing mentally, physically, and emotionally with people. There are times you just want to lay back and just want to chill. You know, when you got children who sometimes test your patience and you try to hold on with all your might and all your strength to not be that parent, you know, sometimes with your spouse when you try to hold on and not be that spouse, sometimes just as a person, you know, my brother went out and said, you know, guard your gates, that he forgot to guard one of his gates last week. Guarding, and we're going to talk about that in the second lesson, you know, being a watchman, being a guard, being a watcher, that is a duty in which you cannot be faint. You can't be off your job. You don't want to be that security officer that when somebody breaks into a situation and they say, well, where were you at? And you'd be like, well, you know, why weren't you on your post? Why weren't you attentive? Why weren't you able to prevent something from happening? But that's oftentimes is what happens with us just within ourselves, you know? And that word for his name being a memorial is also Zakor. So if the teaching behind it is to fight, to get into that Sabbath day, to get into that Sabbath mindset, to get into the holy presence of Shabbat, it means the same about his name. That we have to fight to maintain the presence of his name as well as the holiness and the sanctity of his name. Because that's what we are called to do. That is part of our task. But yet and still, you know, we have the powers that be that are out there that, one, teach that we shouldn't utter the name, that the name shouldn't be used. And then you have, on the flip side of that, people who use an entirely false name. So it's like, here it is, on all sides, we are alone sometimes.
Amen.
And not in the sense that you're alone as in you're lonely, but, and you know, it's so funny because even in during this lesson, I had to read up on, he read up a little bit on Elijah. And at that point when he told Yahweh, look, I'm going through this thing after he ran from Jezebel, he said, look, I'm the only one out there. That it's me and me alone. I'm the only one out there. And Yahweh said, hold up, man. Wait a minute. I got 7,000 who have not bowed that knee to Baal in Israel. Don't think that you're the only one. Yes, I gave you this task. Yes, I gave you this thing that you have to do. But don't think I don't have a reserve of men and women who have not given themselves over to idol worship. So, no, we probably are not the only ones that are out there. Yahweh got his people everywhere he needs them to be. But it doesn't mean that we don't have a task to do and fulfill it. You know, and again, you know, the conspiracy against our salvation, I ain't worried about them people. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, yes, are they after Yisrael? Of course they're after Yisrael. You know, but as my brother has been teaching about collateral damage, if they got to take out the whole world, this system doesn't just affect us. You know, I was listening to the teaching of that the man was talking, Mr. Jones was talking about, you know, in the lesson last night. And the people who report up to me are just as much of a slave as I am. Whether they black, white, or in between, you know, they are not independent of the saints. And now, granted, there are people who rank higher than me, but they're no different than I am at the end of the day. They're dependent upon that paycheck to live and eat, to have shelter, and to also to feed themselves. So this system, this beast system that we're in, affects everybody. Granted, it mostly wants to destroy Israel, but in order to destroy Israel, you've got to have it out there to affect everybody. And sadly, we see and it's like saying, quote unquote, the black community, it's like an oxymoron because we're not a community. We are a group of people who just dwell together at times and not at peace. And when you think of community, community. Being communal. You know, it's so funny. They found the person who killed the lady in the store, but they still ain't found the person who killed that 21-year-old sister who had her business. Pretty ironic to me. Pretty ironic to me. You know? And it's like I'm watching these mayoral debates because, yes, it has a direct effect. Somebody just got murdered 2 blocks up from my house. I thought I was in a quiet, safe area. No, exactly, Aunt Karen. No, you're not. Because you know why? This culture, street culture, drug culture, thug culture, this life has crept into every aspect of America. No one's immune.
Right.
I ride the subway all day long with people who commute from out the suburbs, and I'm not talking about people who look like me, people who don't look like me, who commute from out in the suburbs to get their blast on down in the city. I see this every day. So it ain't immune to nobody. I think one of the most powerful movies that came out about the last 15 to 20 years was Traffic. Traffic told you it was coming. Not to our community, because it's been in our community, but it was coming to your community.
Amen.
And it was going to affect everybody in your community up to the highest parts.
Amen.
The president of the United States that currently sits, he got a brother who died from alcoholism. So as privileged as he was, addiction affected his family too. And that's a fact. Okay? So this doesn't just, it's not isolated. And I have to love, my favorite comedian of all time will always be this man. And, you know, and he said, you know, when it was ravishing our community, people sat back like, oh, we good? Oh, 20, 30 years later, guess what? No, y'all ain't, because it's affecting everybody. But the point I'm trying to make is that the same way that the powers that be have tried to hold us down, guess what? It spreads out. But one of the things, again, I learned from Judith was when Israel is right, what did that man say in Judah? I can't attack Israel. They doing good right now. If I attack them right now, they while they're on their game, their God protects them. So in any situation that Yisrael is in, it's because we have done things to the detriment of ourselves. And the main thing that we did to the detriment of ourselves is not follow the instructions of our Creator, who handpicked this nation to reveal himself to, and then in turn reveal him to the world. Have we done that? We failed at that. So we need to own that. We need to own that. The only reason why we are ever placed in captivity is because we sin. That's why we have this history before us. That's why we go through this. We have been going through this book from beginning unto the end and all in between, because Yisrael needs to know their history. And this is not just reading material to me. This is history. These are historical facts. One of the things, and you know, in trying to illustrate that to one of my co-workers and colleagues one time, there's this man out there called Michael Kelliger, and he is part of this movement called Ubuntu. And one of the things that in his book that he was talking about, and how, you know, Yahweh is the enslaver God and all this sort of stuff. And one of the things that he talked about was how the Akkadians, in their history of Abraham, it's far different than the history that we have of Abraham. Okay, cool. I don't care about their history. Their history of Abraham is their history of Abraham. Whether they, first of all, I could see them writing bad things about him, because guess what? He left Akkadia. That's Ur of the Chaldees. That's Akkadia. So if he left and became this great person, sure, they don't want to. They're not going to write that in their history about him. But Yahweh left for us something so that we know our father Abraham was a great man. Was he a perfect man? No, not by any means as far as humanity is concerned, but Yahweh still used him in so many different ways to be an example of how we should live, that Yahweh called him a friend. Right. His buddy, his chump, his day one. That's what Yahweh calls him. Said he's a friend of his. So I don't care what history is out there. And, you know, one of the things that really perplexes me, and one of the faiths I really haven't done that much studying, and the reason why I never studied any more into this faith as far as Islam is concerned, because if the book starts out with, hey, everything that Moshe or what they call him, Musa says, follow his instructions. So what I need to read the Quran for?
Hallelujah. To
read the Torah. So what is the purpose of your faith if there's already a faith in place that your key book says, go back and follow his instructions? Well, guess what? The instructions is right in here. Only makes sense. You know, but anyway, I digress and have been digressing. Backed up all week because I come up in here. Can't really get to talk like this when I'm at work. You know, ain't nobody, a lot of people ain't there that really understand me like that. You know, and then you can't be all fiery while you're sitting at the lunch table with your brother. You know. People hear that stuff and you're like, well, I take your job. I still need my little employee for a while, you know, until Yahweh say, you know what? Be emboldened. Go out there and speak boldly. Don't worry about it. Right. You know, when that time comes, not like the Hushra says, not our time yet. But when it's time, Yahweh got it.
Right.
So I'm going to start off in Brother Lucas, the light. Chapter 18. I need some water. Any water yet? Oh. I need it. I just need sip. You got water, too? Oh, hallelujah. Ta-da. Now remember, a spiritual leader, Brother Yaka'el, Rabbi, teaching on this a while back, and it stuck in my head. You know, but sometimes, you know, it's so funny because, you know, I even think about my understanding of the Holy Spirit. Now, I struggled with, you know, the Ruach HaKodesh of what it actually was until one day my spiritual leader said, man, it's the Holy Intellect. And then in my mind, it was like, oh, yeah, you're right. It's the Holy Intellect. And you know, one thing that really made me understand it is because I was playing a game at the time where if you got this person that you want them to be smarter, you got to put stuff to intellect. And once you put more points in the intellect tree, they start to be able to understand more and different things. They're like, wow, yeah, it's the mindset. It's a mind that comes over you anyway. But when he talked about this particular parable, you know, it stood out to me, and it's going to be relevant to what we're talking about today, the conspiracy against our salvation. And he says in Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And when he says men, he ain't just talking about men. He's talking about mankind, humanity, and in particular, those of us who are called out in this world to know Yahweh and his son Yahushua. 18:2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not the mighty one, neither regarded men. So what do we know about this man right here? He ain't afraid of God, but at the same time, he ain't particular about mankind either. He's an impartial worldly judge. Pretty just. You know what I'm saying? Because he probably one of the people out there, unlike what we have nowadays, sitting in our public office where everybody's partisan and, you know, a person can stand up there and tell you all kinds of lies and you just go along with it because you're towing party lines. This not this type of man right there. Because they obviously don't fear God. Because if they did fear God, they would think about the impact that they are having on the people who are they are supposed to be in service to. But anyway, I ain't trying to get off into politics. But they definitely regard man because they'll let somebody lie, cheat, steal, and do whatever he wants because, you know, darn it, it's all about the office. But they're going to see because he is slowly but surely putting us in a position where we're starting to see it's not just wars and rumors of wars, but eventually it has to kick off and be something real. And he is definitely putting us in that position. It ain't just, you know, talk and chatter now, you know, but we'll see where it goes from here. But it's fairly interesting. But again, Luke 18:2, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not the mighty one, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith. It's Yahushua, I'm sorry. Yahushua said, hear what the unjust saith. And shall not the mighty one avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on this earth? And I did say earth, because that's very important. Because when he starts out, he's like, listen now, pray, don't stop, don't lose your steam when it comes to prayer. Don't faint on this. Prayer is your continual, the only connection you have to the Creator. Stay in his faith. That's what this is all about, because the whole point of this is what, family? Why would he even give us this parable? Why would he even say at the last sentence, nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, when I return, shall I find faith on this earth? Am I going to find faithful people, people who are faithful to me on this earth? That's what he wants to know. So what does that mean? Faith is going to be tested. Faith is going to be tried. Faith is going to be under attack. Why? Because, as my brother was talking about last night, P-O-L-E-R, horror, A-N-C, tolerance. Is that how you spell tolerance? T-O-L-E-R-A-N-C-E, tolerance. Tolerance. What do we have to tolerate? How much more do we have to tolerate? What is this tolerance going to bring the world to? Because tolerance is going to bring the world to its knees. Because, and I'm not even talking about the status quo, the as my rabbi says, the legabetics,
the alphabet people, as my favorite comedian often refers to them, them L's, them B's, them G's, them T's, them Q's, and that all the other foolishness they got associated with it, which is all mind trickery, mind scuffs, all kinds of trash. And I tell you, the one guy, and even though a lot of people have turned their back on him and have scorned him because of whatever, you know, this is just the age that we live in. But that brother Umar was telling them some truth. It's a psychological, even though he's not a spiritual person, what we know about psychology is what? Psy means the spirit.
Amen.
It's a spiritual affliction.
Amen.
And what was that teaching that my brother had about you taught on it during your last teaching? About a catamite, right? What was the teaching behind that?
Abominations,
right? Abominations. The cat, that whole catamite is the practice of men being, people being with the same gender. You know what I'm saying? Which he said was a disease. A disease of the spirit, right? A disease
right.
of the mind. So if that's what the word says, and even though you have a brother out there who may not be a spiritual person, sure, he's one of them Afrocentric brothers, but truth is truth.
Amen.
Truth is truth. And it is disproportionately affecting black men. Even when you think about it, I'm even looking at, and these young people, and I do believe that an ex-mayor probably more than likely will get reelected in the city again, as opposed to, you know, somebody coming in and different. But the city's going to listen to her. You know why? Because you got these young black men, they don't respect men's authority. You shaking your head, the only authority they respect is the authority of women. Why? Because that's the condition they've been placed under. We ain't seen as the authority anymore. And I watch a lot of guys will carry on, these young men will carry on foolishly. And if a black man says something to one of these young men, shut up, man. But if a woman gets up and says something, for some reason, they'll zip it. Why? Because if the man ain't in the home, he ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he's not seen in his authority, then he ain't going to see none of them as an authority. They're going to use all of them. They're going to view all of them as someone to hold them in contempt.
Man.
And then what my brother brought out last night? When Moshe came and said, oh, why y'all fighting, man? What y'all doing? Break this up. Don't you understand? We all in the same struggle. We all in the same gang. We enslaved here together. And they said, man, who are you, Moshe? Don't tell me what to do. What about that Egyptian you killed and buried? You ain't knew I knew about that, did you? And what did that do to Moshe? That chased him away for 40 years. Whatever work he had planned to do at that time, that one particular incident, Yahweh used to tell him, yo, you got to get low for at least 40 years. Think about it. There was two Hebrew men that were fighting, and he tried to break that up. And because of their response, whatever could have possibly happened at that point, if their mind was right, and we know it was all based on Yahweh's divine will, now it delayed it 40 more years, probably until that generation died off. Think about taking that generation out of Egypt. Think about it. Think about us getting freed right now, like really freed. You think we ready? What is the teaching behind he had to raise them up and get them out of Egypt? These minds got to be retooled first. These minds got to be reprogrammed. These mindsets is gone. These young people, and I know they said the same thing about us. I remember riding the bus and just acting a fool. Acting a dummy on that school bus. You know, you got your other 15 and 16 years old, and you feel like you can say anything out your mouth, do anything that you want, and bet not nobody say nothing to me. Did your generation too? No? You ain't claiming it? But you experienced it with my generation. Oh, yeah. And it's even worse. It's even worse. Because now there's less of a regard for authority and for life. Nights has become really cheap to the point where there's no second thought about in some of these young people's mind as to whether or not I should commit this crime. There isn't a second thought. It is not a second thought. It is front and center in their mind that this day I shall commit X amount of murders in this city. Until at which point I am murdered myself and or caught. And the likelihood is you're probably going to get murdered before you get caught because ain't nobody going to tell. And not everybody's aids and abetting at this point. And yes, some of these people in City Hall are aiding and abetting criminal activity. So why should the youth be paying attention to that? But anyway, again, Luke 18:8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, but in his own speedily, not in our speedily, in his own speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? So today, we are going to talk about one of my favorite unsung heroes in the scriptures, Brother Caleb.
Man.
Because Caleb was an unsung hero. You know, everybody, a lot of people get bigged up, you know, in the scriptures and stuff. But Caleb, boy, he was a good dude.
Man.
We're going to talk about him a little bit today, along with Yahushua. But anyway, let's read this. So we're going to Numbers 13. I'm starting at the first chapter. I'm going to read a couple of chapters, family. All right? And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Keep that in mind. And Moshe, by the command of Yahweh, sent them from the wilderness of Haran, all those who were heads of the children, of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachor; of the tribe of Shimeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Yehuda, Caleb, the son of Yefune. And why of that tribe? Judah. Yehuda. He looked at me like, 13:7. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshia, the son of Nun. By then his name hadn't changed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi; of the tribe of Joseph, namely the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali; of the tribe of Asher, Sepha, the son of Mikael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vophsi; of the tribe of Gad, Getuel, the son of Maki. These are the names of the men which Moshe sent to spy out the land. And Moshe called Oshia, the son of Nun, Yahushua. Okay? So he added something to his name. Who has been adding things to people's names up to this point? Just Yahweh. Aaron, you're going to be the prophet. Moshe, you're going to be me. So this was his first thing in putting his God presence on another individual. Y'all with me on that? Hallelujah. All right. And Moshe sent them, 13:7, and Moshe sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong, weak, few, or many. I wish my military brother was here so he could speak to some things, because he sent them up into the high point, up into a mountain, so that these men can really observe everything that's going on down there. But now think about what the mountain represents spiritually.
Amen.
Yahweh's telling them to go out there and do some reconnaissance.
Right?
Some military work, right? Because before, I have my other brother, military brother in here, before they actually go on a campaign or before they decide to do anything in the military, first they send out I can't remember, what's the name of the team, bro? A reconnaissance team, right? They send out a forward team that goes out there, and their whole job is to do a whole lot of stuff. It ain't simple. But they also have to be able to do this if they're going into a place for an enemy territory. They have to be able to do this without being seen, and they have to come back and report it to their leadership, right?
Right.
Okay. But these are the leaders reporting back to the prophet and to God. Let's not forget that. Aaron and Moshe. Because these are the leaders of the tribe. These are the heads of the tribe. These are the big daddies of the tribe. Okay. And he told them, 13:18, and see the land and what it is, the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in there, whether in tents or whether in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So what time of the year was this? Spring, right? Spring to about early summer, right? This is around the time of first fruits, right? Around Passover, about the bee time, right? Right, because grapes grow up early, right? And they go, they're one of them early type fruits, right? Mm-hmm. But towards the time the summer starts dwindling down, they're not really there no more. So, got to know a little bit about agriculture too. 13:21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Okay, giving some reference to them at that time that he was talking to and all that sort of stuff. 13:23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare between two upon a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and of the figs. So what are we seeing there? Remember, Gershom and Daniel had a little wood carving of that in his home. The grape clusters were so big that they took this and the two men had to carry this cluster of grapes, while others carried the pomegranates and others carried the figs, which were very good fruits still to this day, but especially at that time. So Yahweh letting them know right off the brick, something they can't control, this land is boom. Okay? So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness, 13:21, the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from between thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and of the figs. 13:24. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. 13:25. This is where things start to play out now. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moshe and to Aharon and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. 13:27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, 13:28, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. 13:29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So what are they doing there? Because now, if you know anything about, especially the Hittites, they were one of the baddest warrior nations to ever walk the face of the earth. Look at the history of the Hittites. They were one of the baddest warriors to ever walk the face of the earth. Didn't really do much on the Amalekites, but definitely I remember watching a documentary on the Hittites, and they were nothing to be trifled with. So now the people are all in an uproar because, hold up, the land is flowing in milk and honey. But in order for us to get this land, we got to fight these show-enough warriors. But listen to my brother Caleb, 13:30. And Caleb still the people before Moshe. Who was Moshe? Representing? Yeah. Right? And said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. Who are these? 11 of the 12 that went. 11 of the 12 that went did what? Brought an evil report. And I even got to go into Hebrew to see that that's not a good thing. After all what they saw, because of who they saw in the land, now this is what they're doing. These are 11 of the 12 that went. And they brought an evil report of the land that they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants. Eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. We already did the study on what the giants were. They ain't these superhumanly tall people or whatever. No, as my brother taught in his last teaching, they were pretty tough people, strong people, people of renown. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we are in our sight. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Wait a minute. It says nothing about them having an interaction with these people.
Right.
They went to spy. They did a covert operation. So now listen to what they're saying. Not only are they telling the people how they view themselves, but now they're telling the people how they looked at us. How do they know that? Anyway, let's move on. But look at what it does. Look at the aftermath of what the report of these leaders of the tribe did to the people. Because this is what's important. And this is why I say Yisrael is his own worst enemy. 14:1. And all the people of the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Think about what they're doing. These ain't just the women. These ain't just the women now. These is the men that's doing this. And I ain't here to man bash, but this is our history. This is our history, brothers. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moshe and against Aaron. Who is Moshe? He's the mighty one. And who is Aaron? He's the prophet. So now, based on what these leaders of these 11 tribes said, despite Caleb being the one who said, man, we can take them. Why did he even feel that way? Because he knew what the mighty one had done. He trusted what the mighty one had done. He believed in what the mighty one had done. But he didn't see it by himself. These other 11 tribe leaders saw this too. But because their perception and their faith was lacking, guess what? Now it's starting to affect the people. And all the children of Israel murmured against the mighty one and the prophets. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the... Let's not sugarcoat it. Y'all murder the prophets. Killing is a nice word. Murder has much more of an impact.
Man.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you murderers of the prophets. You murderers of the ones that Yahweh sent to bring you into a relationship with him.
Amen.
That's what we're seeing right here. 14:2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moshe and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would the mighty one that we died in the land of Egypt, or would the mighty one we had died in this wilderness? after what he done showed them? After he split the sea? After he drowned Pharaoh and his army? After he did all of that? Y'all want to go back? Y'all say y'all rather die us. You'd rather die in harsh slavery is what they're saying, as opposed to be free in this dusty wilderness. Think about the mindset of Israel. Think about it. We'd rather die in that captivity, because at least in that captivity, we had some comforts. But let me read on. And all the children of Israel murmured 14:2 against Moshe and Aharon, and the whole congregation said unto them, would the mighty one that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would the mighty one we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath Yahweh brought us into this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? So we see who crying now. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? This is what they're saying to Yahweh, to Moshe, and to Aaron. 14:4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Exactly. It's sad. It's almost contemptuous. You kind of hold them in contempt, man, because it's like, for real? This is where your minds is at? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return. But isn't that what Israel has been doing?
Isn't that what they're doing right now?
Isn't that what they're doing right now? 14:5. But see, this is what we as leaders should do. And this is why Yahushua said, pray. Don't faint. Moshe, he ain't act like Barshaw was. Barshaw just yelling. Who y'all coming up again? Who y'all talking to? Don't think because I got this little baby voice and I walk around here real humble when it's time to get down, I'm afraid to get down. I don't care what your background is. I done been around thugs and hoodlums and all them scary types all my life. It don't shake me not one bit. It don't. I done had a gun in my face. I done ran from people. I done fought. I ain't scared of nobody, especially now that I got Yahweh on my side. I ain't scared. You don't scare me. I don't care if you taller than me. I don't care if you bigger than me. You don't scare me. Don't intimidate me. Not one bit. But anyway, digressing. 14:5. Then Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. I can't see myself doing that if my team come up against me. I can't see it. But look at the humility they had. Look at where they understand the place before which they stood. This is before the congregation. They ain't buck up against them. They ain't go back railing for railing. They said, nah. The motion Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the unsung hero, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. See, they ready. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If Yahweh delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Why? Because they understood the promise that Yahweh gave to their father Abraham, and that he is faithful to keep that promise.
Man.
And that he is not like us, where we will make a contract and break it. Whatever contract he made, he gonna fulfill it. He said to Abraham, didn't even get to see it with his physical eyes, the redemption of Israel. But he knew it existed.
Amen.
He knew that the mighty one, that he left all his comfort from Ur of the Chaldees to go where he sent him, which is this very same land now, and said, look, this land that you're in right now, Moshe, Abraham, I'm going to give it to your posterity.
Amen.
I'm going to give it to your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Don't worry about it. I'm going to let you chill in it. So that way, when they hear about it, they'll have complete faith that I'm faithful to do what I said I would do for you.
Amen.
On your strength. Hmm? All right. And it said, I'm going back to 14:6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake up all the children of the company, all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which passes through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If Yahweh delight in us, and I made a mistake earlier, it was 2 out of 12, not 1, not 11, but 10 of the ones that went out, because Joshua went out and Caleb went out. I apologize for that. It's both of them. In my zeal, I missed that part. But it's at that time, even though it doesn't say Joshua spoke out, him and Caleb were together and how they felt about this. We're just seeing it come to pass now, and I apologize for that, family. Okay? But it's 10 of the 12 today. And they spake to all the company, 14:7, they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceedingly good land. If Yahweh delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against Yahweh, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We can eat them. Not literally eat them, but they're there for our sustenance. Hmm? Their defense is departed from them, and Yahweh is with us. Fear them not. What defense could you put up against the mighty one? What defense could you put up against an earthquake for Puerto Rico? What defense can you put up against hurricanes? What defense can you put up against an earthquake? But the scriptures say, if Yahweh look upon that land, the earth quakes. So which means his power is greater than the power of Mother Nature. Hmm? Which man fears. When the lights go out and the winds and bad thunderstorms, don't you be scared sometimes? When that big boom shakalaka hit above your roof and shakes your whole house down the foundation, I'd be scared. I ain't going to lie. I'd be trying to be brave for my family, but I'd be scared, especially when the lights go out like, yikes. Woo, wait, be in there like Scooby-Doo. You know, but I'd be praying to Yahweh. Yahweh keep me strong in front of my family, so because they panicking, you know. They be like, oh, you know, but anyway, I'm back at 14:8. So if Yahweh delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against Yahweh, neither fear ye the people of the land, for their bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and Yahweh is with us, fear them not. So now realize, even though the people are coming up against Moshe and Aharon, he's letting them know, y'all ain't rebelling against them two faces y'all see right there. Y'all rebelling against Yahweh. Forget that flesh you see in front of you. Remember now, they are only representatives. But when you go against them, you're going against him too. Because really, at the end of the day, who is the prophet? Who is Moshe? Who is Aaron? They're just spokesmen. They're just spokesmen. They're just playing their part for the Creator. But it's the Creator that has to do that work. Only, 14:9, rebel not ye against Yahweh, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us, their defense is departed from them, and Yahweh is with us, fear them not. 14:10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stone. Jerusalem, from the very time, well, Moshe is not technically the first prophet, but he is the first prophet in that out of that captivity. And the first two prophets out of that captivity, what are they about to do? What is stoning? What crime have they committed? See, killing somebody and murdering somebody are two different things. There's a difference between homicide. There's different types of homicide, negligent homicide. You see what I'm saying? This all falls in the category because it's all based on the mindset. Right now, they're about to murder them. They're about to murder them. And all for what? Because they lack faith. Because their mind is so twisted and distorted. Think about the mindset of these people now. It is so twisted and distorted. You just saw it. You saw it. These are the people who saw 10 things. and the 10th one being the most devastating of all, look, the world will never see a plague like the 10th plague again. And it's so funny because, thank you, Yahweh. He just reminded me of something. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hallelujah. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold up. Hold up, family. Forgive me. Because it just came to mind. I was supposed to mention this. And it's in the... Oh, shucks. Ooh. Oh. I don't know what... That's how I do it. Sorry for the dead ear, fam. I got almost... Come on now, autocorrect. I appreciate you doing it. Ah! 2 Timothy 3:1. Second Timothy 3:1 starts like this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce bearers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures and more than lovers of God, lovers of Yah, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moshe, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. And when I first was reading that, I was like, well, Jannes and Jambres, who are they? You never hear about them. And I thought maybe they were these men among the leaders of the tribes, but no, they're not. When you do a study on Jannes and Jambres, you find out that these were the sorcerers that withstood Moshe and Aharon up until that plague where they went back to Pharaoh and he said, we can't duplicate that. We were able to do all kinds of incantations within our secret societies. We're going to talk about some secret societies later on today. But as Jannes and Jambres withstood, and they were able to, he threw down a snake, they threw down a snake. Frogs, they did. I think, which one was that they couldn't duplicate other than the last one? See, they were able to duplicate a whole bunch of them, but at some point, four of them, right? The first four. But after that, they couldn't go no further. You see what I'm saying? But see, now think about what Moshe and Aharon had to deal with. They had to deal with that while they were in Egypt, and now coming out of Egypt, look at what else they got to deal with. See, I will never forget this keynote from Passover a couple years ago. Mitzrayim, double strikes. See, all this world is Mitzrayim. See, because we catching it on one side. He said, all this world is just a narrow bridge, just a narrow bridge. And on one side, you have that unquenchable fire that the moment you tip over into that, it's just going to consume. But then you have on the other side, as the book of Ezra talks about, this sea without depths. That once you fall into it and it's so tumultuous that guess what? You drown it. Ain't no way you coming out of that. See, but this is what the men of the Creator are up against. Who do you side with, man? Do you side with Joshua and Caleb? Or do you side with the other 10 tribes and how they feel about it? Because trust me, whenever you bring up a railing accusation against the leadership and it's not based on anything that they've done wrong, guess who you siding with? Jannes, Jambres, and all them other 10, which equal to 12. Don't it? 2 of the corrupt side without and 10 of the corrupt side within. Are you going to be Joshua and Caleb and separate yourself from the other 10? Are you going to be Jannes and Jambres and be with the enemy from without and the enemy from within. Man. That's what we up against. Anyway, forgot to mention that. But I digress. Back to 14. Forgot where I left off. Brothers? Okay. But all the congregation bade stone, but all the congregation bade stone with them with stones. And the glory of Yahweh appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Do you see who came to their rescue?
Yes.
Do you see who came to their rescue? I love them. But all the congregation bade stone with them with stones, and the glory of Yahweh appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now, who's there? The same children, but the men are there. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. But look at what old Moshe does. Now here it is, the people was just about to kill him. And Yahweh said, I got your back. Just say the word. Let me at him. That's what Yahweh's saying. just give me the word, Moshe. So even Yahweh is respecting the authority that he gave to Moshe and to Aaron. Right or wrong? Because he was ready to talk about laying a hammer. But Moshe. Hallelujah for Moshe. And how is it that people cannot seem to understand? You got to have an intercessor. You got to have a go-between. You got to have a mediator. If your scripture, your holy book tells you to listen to Musa, which is Moshe, this is what Moshe does. But you teach, you don't need no mediator. You don't need no go-between. You don't need nobody to stand between sure destruction from the Creator and salvation.
Wow.
Because Moshe is acting as a savior to them at this point. Okay. 14:13. And Moshe said unto Yahweh, I tell you, but what a lawyer. What an advocate. Then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Yahweh, art among this people, that thou, Yahweh, art seen face to face, that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. So the world is seeing this and witnessing all of this. It ain't just going on amongst the children of Israel, because if there's a pillar of fire that's blazing in the middle of night, you don't think every inhabitant of the land around there is going to see that? If all is sunny skies, but there's this one cloud off in the distance, and they know that's where the people are, you think the people don't notice that?
Amen.
But what do clouds do also for the people in the heat of the day? Don't sometimes we be happy when you stand out on that bus stop, boy, and that sun blazing on your head? And then a cloud comes past and give you just a little bit of, thank you for the cloud. So Yahweh protecting you from the blazing heat. And keep, because one of the things, why do you light a fire when you're out camping? Well, when you're camping out in the wilderness.
Amen.
One of the things, you reason why you light a fire, not just to give you heat, but what does fire also do? If you're not hiding, light, if you're not hiding. But fire is also a deterrent for predators. Right. They don't want to come around fire.
Amen.
So bears, cougars, wolves, if you got fire around you, they're not coming around that fire. So at night, Yahweh's protecting them from the predators.
Amen.
Whether human and or otherwise. Because they're in the wilderness. It's wild out there. Right? Anyway, 14:13. And Moshe said unto Yahweh, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from amongst them. and they will tell to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Yahweh, art among this people, and that thou, Yahweh, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night, 14:15, and now thou shalt tell all these people as one man, then the nations will have heard the fame of thee, will speak, saying, because Yahweh was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. They going to say, Yahweh, you ain't strong enough as a God. That's what they going to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might be a real God, but you ain't strong enough to handle these people. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. You who calms the mountains, you who calms you. It is you, Yahweh. What an argument, Moshe. What an argument, huh? 14:16. Because Yahweh was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he had slain them in the wilderness. 14:17. And now I beseech thee. What does beseech mean? I'm begging you, Yahweh. Let the power of my master be great according to as thou hast spoken, saying, Yahweh is long-suffering and great in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon. Give them. For they don't know what they do. I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt until now. And Yahweh said, I love you. I have pardoned according to thy word. Yeah, you know, I was watching that episode. You remember that episode of Martin, John Witherspoon? And I think it was a Thanksgiving episode, and him and Gina Farmer had gotten to the arm wrestling match, and he called her, and he was mad that he was showing out in front of his wife, and he got so mad that he called him Cyclops, and he got so mad that Martin had to rub his stomach. He was like, oh, y'all remember that episode of Martin? I'm a Martin geek. And he had to rub his stomach. He had to calm down, like, calm down, calm down, calm down. But yeah, but Moshe threw his prayer, because Yahweh was ready to go. Man. He was. Don't think for one second that was not his intent, but by his mercy and showing forth what Moshe was to point to, he allowed this to happen. Because he didn't have to listen to Moshe. He didn't have to honor his word. But he said, man, I have pardoned, 14:20, according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, 10 temptations for them 10 plagues he used to liberate them, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their father, neither shall any of them have provoked me to see. What does the land point to? Salvation. Conspiracy against our salvation. Don't worry about no Bilderbergers. Don't worry about no Rothschilds. Don't worry about no Trumps, no Clintons, none of these people.
Man.
They can't prevent us from getting what Yahweh has for us. Only we can.
Man.
Hmm? And the reason why we're slaves is because we disobeyed.
Man.
Period. Hmm? And he said, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not shemad to my voice, 14:23, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb.
Man.
Because he had another what? Another spirit with him and has followed me fully. So I say he the unsung hero in this. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yahweh, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall fall. She shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Yefunneh, and Yahushua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know that the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers of the days, 1434. After the number of the days in which he searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. That's a sentence. Woo-wee! That's a life sentence. It is. A life sentence in this modern era is 25 years. That's considered life. Hmm? 40 years for 40 days shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. 1435, I, Yahweh, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in the wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moshe sent to search the land, whom returned and made all the congregation to murmur against me by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before Yahweh. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Yefunneh, which were of them that went to search the land, lived still.
Amen.
I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. And Moshe told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, because they got that sentence. See, y'all thought y'all was coming up against me, and you thought you was coming up against Aaron. You thought you was just speaking against the land. You slandered the land. But guess what? You hurt my feelings. You offended me. This is what Yahweh's saying. So now Moshe, because he ain't telling this to all of them, he's telling this to God, to the man who represents the Creator, and his prophet. He's telling them, now y'all go back and tell the people what I'm about to do. And Moshe told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Because they're going to die. They're going to die in that wilderness. They're not going to see the land. All they had to do was believe. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and you will go up unto the place which Yahweh had promised, for we have sinned. And Moshe said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of Yahweh? But it shall not prosper. No, you can't go against what Yahweh said. Y'all already made your mark. Y'all already did what you already did it. It's too late now. Y'all was trying to kill me. I still spoke up for you. Be happy with that. But Yahweh wasn't pleased with what y'all did. 1442, go not up, for Yahweh is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies, for the Amalekites. So now they want to go wage war. They realize they made that mistake. Well, Caleb did say we were strong enough to take them. So guess what, brothers? Let's go show Yahweh now that we got faith in them. Too late. Too late. Now you'll want to go fight? No. He says, go not up, for Yahweh is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. So what is that telling us? If Yah be for you, it's better than the whole world against you. But if Yah not with you, you're going to be smitten before your enemies. So if we are smitten before our enemies, that's because Yahweh removed his hands from around us. That's why. Simple as that. Slavery was a result of the children of Israel being disobedient. And as opposed to them being obedient, they want to continue in disobedience, and they want to buck up against the system. They want to buck up against the man. They want to go to the military. They want to get guns together. They want to get this army of elite black people, and they think they're going to go rat-a-tat-tat the government, and the government is just automatically going to fall down because the power of black people is so great. I wish right now I could tape your face, because that's exactly right. Black people are not that great.
Amen.
Black people with Yahweh are great.
Amen.
Okay? But you do have some black people that are being blessed by the God of this world. Period.
Amen.
That's why whenever they make a touchdown or whatever they score a basket and win a game, thank you, J-E-S-U-S. It's the God of this world. He'll give you what he wants. All this crap belongs to him. All this green paper that we fighting over, it ain't even toilet paper to him. What can you can't to Yahweh?
That's right.
You don't need that.
Right.
Huh? You can't make it rain for Yahweh. You ain't got enough money in this world to change Yahweh's mind about what he's going to do.
Right.
But the God of this world got enough money to change your mind about what you believe. Trust and believe he do. Because that's what he do. He got billion. He got first of all, if you got multiple billionaires in this world, and I think we're coming upon maybe a trillionaire at some point, that means he's got an abundance. The God of this world got an abundance of money to just give away. He don't care. As long as for every one of them dollars, it pushes you further away from your relationship
right.
with the Creator.
Amen.
Hmm? But after you die, you will meet God. So exit 42 right there, 895. We can actually see it. Oh, you got it?
No.
You can see it. You can see it. And once you go in home, you can see it right there. If you bang that right, you can see the sign. It's right over there by like where the whatchamacallit is, the Royal Farms, I think. After you die, you will see God. Right? And even if you have it in your will, burn me with all my money, your soul is going up naked before the Creator. Okay?
Man.
Ain't nothing crossing over but the soul.
Man.
Where's your soul at?
Man.
Is it in its right place?
Man.
Does it? Is it coated in the anointing of Yahushua?
Man.
Because we done read that, right? Your soul got to be coated with the anointing of Yahushua before you die.
Because
if it's not, guess what? It don't get recognized on the other side.
Man.
At least to go into the good place.
Right.
Right? Okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Okay, 1443. For the Amalekite, he said, go not, 1442, go not up, for Yahweh is not with you, that ye not be smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from Yahweh. Therefore, Yahweh will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh and Moshe departed not out of the camp. The weapon of mass destruction. They said, no, we ain't bringing out this for y'all. Oh, no. Moshe said, now, y'all, go ahead. Y'all, do you. Y'all been doing you. Don't continue to do you. 1444. But they presumed to go up unto the hill and never. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh and Moshe departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in the hill, and smote them and discomfited them unto Hormah. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Hallelujah.
That's all. Because I got to save my voice for later. But we see that Israel, y'all worst enemy. And I know, I was like, well, dang, when you going to start talking about some real conspiracy? For what?
That is the conspiracy.
Hallelujah.
If people don't realize, people want, like you say, I'm not saying there's no truth to that.
Amen.
Or other things.
Yes.
But this is the major part because of what's happening on the inside.
Right.
What I'm hearing is confirmation, because when you think about Israel, there's a mainstream Hebrew Israelite movement.
Hallelujah.
Everybody's flocking to that because it's the bigger group.
Mm-hmm.
But what we keep learning from the scriptures, it ain't the biggest group that Yahweh was dealing with. It was always the least.
I love you, Rabbi.
It was just two of the 12 that really wanted to do as well, not the whole 12.
That's right.
And that's what people missed. So that's part of the conspiracy. And this is, you see, throughout the scriptures in this scenario and several other scenarios where people not paying attention. It's more than just people saying, I'm Hebrew, it's like it coming together. Are you doing it in light of the will of the Creator? And everybody's not. And And that's the conspiracy. You think you are, but you're not. You're going out here, you want to fight everything you just said, but people don't realize Yahweh ain't with you with that, because that's not what he wants us to do right now. You know?
He literally does not care about that. He only cares about you getting right with him. That's what's important.
Exactly.
And as long as you focus on anything else, you're missing the point.
Exactly.
You're missing the point.
Anything else?
That's where we are.
All right. Well, shalom. Cocoon family. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy, and all his words are men. Brother Deuel, would you mind closing us out with prayer, Aki?
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Father. We thank you for this day, Father. We thank you for the breath of life. We thank you for allowing us to come sup with you once again, Father. Thank you for the Shabbat. We thank you for the words you put on our brother Ariel's heart last night.
Amen.
We thank you for the words that you put our brother Ahab El's words today. And we ask that you continue to open his mind, open his heart to you. Fill him up and let him dispense to us, Father. Edify
right.
us through your word, Father. Bring us closer to you, Father. That's what we desire. Father, we ask that you protect anybody who's on their way to serve you, Father, through these four corners of this earth,
mm-hmm.
that's willing to give you praise, Father, give you the glory and honor that you deserve, Father.
Amen.
We ask that you get them there safely, that you open up their minds and bring your family into a card, Father. We ask that you protect all the little ones, Father, who's we're under attack, Father. They're definitely under attack.
Amen.
You know, they're a little weaker than us, Father. So hedge them up even more, Father. Protect them. Lead them, guide them, Father, and keep their minds on you, Father, and keep our minds on you also, Father.
Amen.
We ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Can't wait to hear what you have for us again, Father.
Amen.
Chomping at the bit, and we just want to be one with you, Father.
Hallelujah.
But at the end of the day, that's all it is. We just want to be one with you,
Amen.
Like your son is one with you, Father.
Amen.
In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what, and that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe, but it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet, but I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking. If I keep on walking, yeah, I know it when I see it walking. When I see you walking up, always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking. Gotta keep on walking up. Walking shoes. Hey, I tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. In the night to see the light of day, cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are happy times, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said I believe, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking now. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking, oh, yeah. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep it walking, oh. Walking shoes, walking. Step two, step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three.
Walk in shoes.
Thy words, the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walk in shoes, walk in shoes.
Walk into what's promised. Walk into what's better land. Said I believe, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking now. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking.